Hi, I'm Danny Sloan.
And I'm Jared Covilli, and we're your homeroom teachers.
Class is in session. All right, this episode we are going to focus on teaching in rural Utah.
We're excited to welcome Clint Stevens as our guest today. Clint has been working closely with teachers in Southwest Utah for over 12 years to enable and engage them to become masters of classroom technology, or at worst, help them to overcome their tech phobia. From Dreamweaver and Kidspiration in 2006 to cloud apps and anytime, anywhere collaboration today, Clint is a go-to guy. Before Clint became an EdTech specialist, he was a secondary teacher of science for over 12 years at varied places such as Escalante, St. George, and a Salt Lake Charter School. He earned his Bachelor of Science at SUU and his Master in Science Education from Montana State University. He was awarded the Utah Middle School Science Teacher of the Year by his peers and also won several technology innovation grants and awards and has been passionate about integrating technology into his instruction for his entire career. We are pleased to welcome to UEN's homeroom, Clint Stevens.
Thank you, Jared. I appreciate that.
All right, Clint. We have kind of a baptism by fire we like to do here with some really hard-hitting questions. So are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay, here we go.
What is your favorite kind of ice cream?
Ooh, that one's tough. Probably cookies and cream.
Okay, we told you they were difficult. Yeah. Cookies and cream.
Everybody likes Oreo.
I know.
Next up.
What is your favorite Transformer?
My favorite Transformer?
Obviously.
I'm going to show my age here. I only know, like, Optimus Prime.
Only know the Prime?
I don't know any of them.
Not Bumblebee, huh? All right. We see how you lean. And last but not least.
What is your favorite dinosaur?
Ooh, my favorite dinosaur. Probably the spinning one from Jurassic Park.
Any reason like there?
That. Anything that spits on Newman can't be all bad, right?
That's right. Newman!
All right, thanks for playing.
Well, Clint, today we're talking about technology in rural Utah and kind of teaching in rural Utah and how technology kind of helps level the playing field a little bit. Now, you've had a pretty varied career. You've worked in both an urban school as well as many different stops along the way in teaching in rural school districts. Maybe to share with our audience just a little bit about some of the different places that you've been and maybe just describe a little bit about kind of what you're currently doing for our audience.
Okay. So, like I said, I was a science teacher. I was in the entire science department at Escalante High School for 10 years, and that was about 14 years ago. Taught everything from, you know, 7th and 8th grade, integrated science, biology, chemistry, physics, and taught most of those every day. So, you know, having six different preps was a challenge.
Yeah.
That's one of the issues that, that does face rural teachers, is that, you know, they have so many hats to wear and so many things to teach that, you know, it sometimes can be a certain challenge, you bet. I've been back here in rural schools working, you know, I was in Garfield District as a teacher. I've now worked with Garfield and, you know, Beaver and Kane and Iron and Washington and Millard counties down here. You know, working with teachers in their schools. I'm on the road quite a bit. A couple years ago, I put over 17,000 miles on my work car just in traveling for work and things like that. But just, you know, just being there to help teachers, even with a quick, you know, they send me a little email to help them out with little things or big things. And just, it's just a joy to be of use and to be helpful to people and, you know, help them make their work life easier. And, you know, we always focus on, you know, what's best for the students. And so we usually try to say yes when we can, when the request comes in.
Now, a question that I would ask you, I mean, a lot of people come to Danny and me, and we're technology trainers, and you kind of have a similar position, but our jobs are dramatically different. How would you say it's different being a technology trainer working with rural teachers as opposed to like how Danny and I probably are working more with urban school teachers?
We don't usually have a lot of teachers in like set courses. You know, it's a lot of after school kind of quick things where we can, you know, get in and help where we can and show, you know, show a new tool or work, you know, help teachers with some new things. So, you know, a lot of times following up is difficult. And that's something that I try to work on all the time to make sure that, you know, teachers feel comfortable and can have somewhere to go if they have questions or problems after. We are doing more and more courses, thanks to you guys sharing your EdTech endorsement courses and some of the Canvas courses that you guys have. And we're getting more and more teachers involved with that to provide some more, you know, in-depth, long-term, ongoing sort of professional development instead of those, you know, hour-long, quick-hit kind of things that aren't always super successful. You know, maybe just the only difference might be in just traveling. You know, I just have to, you know, sometimes I went to, I drove for 4.5 hours to do an hour and a half long training in Delta this week or last week. It's Monday, I forget. It was last week. But, you know, just that time on the road, it can be a challenge as well.
Thanks, Clint. Is there a specific strategy or tool that's tech-powered that you have seen that's kind of changed the way that your teachers in rural schools have been able to teach?
There's a couple, and they're all kind of due to UEM. We really couldn't run school without you guys. IVC and Canvas. IVC is an interactive video conferencing systems that we have in place in many of our schools, and that's a way that we have in the past been able to offer more, you know, more than just the basics as far as, you know, universities broadcasting courses to kids out in the rural schools, you know, for them to take, you know, language classes that, you know, like Chinese or, you know, things like that wouldn't be able to be offered in a rural school. But we're also using that system to bridge classes within districts. Actually, at Escalante High School, they had a math teacher leave, and they weren't in a position, they couldn't really find anyone to fill that position well enough, so they ramped up the IVC and got Canvas working for a teacher at another high school, a really good teacher in Bryce Valley, and so she's going to teach her kids and teach the kids in Escalante at the same time using that conferencing system and using Canvas to, you know, to make assignments and to collect work and things like that.
Isn't that mind-blowing? You know, I mean, I hate to interrupt you there, Clint, but
without the network that UN provides.
So. Isn't that just amazing to think, like, that a school who just really is stuck still has options?
Yeah, and it happens with Lake Powell School. Lake Powell School is a tiny, tiny school. There's about 12 students, and it's a K-12, like four-building, you know, kind of whole school, but there's only about 12 kids. There is one person out there who is the principal and the teacher and the secretary is the secretary, the bus driver, and the cook. But they're getting courses, you know, broadcast to them through the district and through universities and things like that to provide, you know, those opportunities where that you just can't get anybody down there. It's a school that's in Bullfrog, Utah. It is just a tiny, tiny spot, but they're in our region, and when we go out to work with them, it's a five-hour drive and an overnight trip, but we love doing it.
That's really cool to hear. It's cool to hear that students all across the state of Utah are getting, you know, the same access to education, no matter where they're living.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned Canvas, Clint. Tell us a little bit about how it's impacting your students in your region.
We're slowly adopting it. More and more teachers are starting to use it. One of the biggest kind of cool things and something that's interesting that's going on down here is that we have three of our smallest districts Kane, Garfield, and Beaver are all one-to-one with Chromebooks. So every student has a device that they can have with them, you know, 24/7. And so with that access, our regional service centers kind of help integrate some Wi-Fi on buses. So kids have access when they're on the activity bus going to and from, you know, games or things like that, where normally it would just be, you know, educationally dead time.
Yeah.
Kids can be working on their stuff in Canvas with their Chromebook and Wi-Fi on the bus. And then we've also worked out with our within our region kind of a secret Chromebook wireless network that's the same authentication within all of our different school districts. So kids can go when they're just sitting in the gym, you know, during the JV game waiting for varsity or vice versa, they can be working on schoolwork and, you know, doing things. But normally, you know, if Escalante ever went to state and we'd send half of our, you know, half the students would be on a team, you couldn't really run school.
Right.
But now with Canvas, it makes that, you know, that educational, it stretches out that educational time and we can, you know, actually get something done during athletics.
You know, that's amazing to think about here because, you know, a lot of times we think about the rural districts and the smaller districts as kind of having less resources and less availability for things like that. But what I'm hearing you say is that in some ways there are some advantages because you have a little bit more flexibility to try some things.
Yeah.
Maybe it's out of necessity, but you know,
small enough to where they can afford, you know, to using some textbook money or you know, other things that they can provide a device for every kid. Where in a lot of bigger districts, rural, you know, urban areas, they just can't afford it.
Yeah, it's really cool to hear the innovative ways that you guys are using technology to really stretch the educational time in your different school districts.
Well, and you think about, like you mentioned, Clint, the amount of instructional time that could be lost during activity time, like athletics or drama or band or some of these things that when you have to travel hundreds of miles is lost.
Yep. I lived through it. I was teaching then without Canvas and without we had the IVC classes at that time, but you know I was a coach, so I was on the bus with them, and so I couldn't teach if we were gone for things, you know, and students couldn't learn. So it's helping.
And now you could be on the bus getting your grading done.
I know.
Life changing.
So, Clint, one of the questions that I always have, you mentioned earlier how you kind of talked about your current position, and a lot of what you do is a little bit more one-on-one time with teachers or you working with small groups. Tell me a little bit about the role that relationships play in your kind of interactions with the teachers. It seems like it's really important for you to have those real positive relationships with the teachers so they trust you to come into their classrooms. Because a lot of the times, like I say, you're working with them more individually than I do.
Right. And it takes time to build those relationships. But, you know, it is really important to get to know those people. I have an issue. I'm really good with faces, but I'm terrible with names. And I need to work on it more. But And when I see people outside of the place where I'm supposed to see them, like when I see them at Walmart here instead of at their school, you know, a county or two away, I recognize them, but I can't put a place to them. I'm like, I just have to kind of struggle a little bit.
Never happens to any of the rest of us, Clint. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it never happens to you. Yeah. And then on the reverse of that, we have teachers that you know, email me and say, hey, can you come and work with my fourth period class on Tuesday? And I'm like, sure, tell me what school you're at and what time fourth period is. You know, kind of a two-way street.
But I just think that's something that's such a difference when you're working in those rural communities is that you really are part of that community when you go out there. I mean, like you're saying, I mean, yeah, they really feel like you're part of them, even though they only see you, you know, sporadically, right? But still, once you're in there and you go and spend your time and work with them kind of on that one-on-one basis, it just changes that relationship, I think.
Yeah, it takes time to do that, but we do. I go out and go to every school that we have every year as best I can, talk with the principals, try to figure out, you know, a technology integration training plan for that school for the year and schedule things out. And then like say we're back working with those teachers, you know, once, hopefully twice or three times a year, and then time to build those relationships and be that support when it doesn't work like it did for Clint during the training. Mm. Yeah, that's a big thing.
So, Clint, we know that for the past year you've been working with administration down in Washington County School District, working with leadership and blended and digital learning. Tell us a little bit about what that's been like to work with school principals and kind of helping them see the vision of using technology within their schools.
Hugely valuable. We need to get all of our administrators through that program because that's really a population in schools that are underserved. You know, we go in and work with students all the time, work with teachers constantly. But when it comes to the administrators, normally they invite me to come and then they say, hey, Clint's here, and then he takes off. We don't really have any, you know, curriculum or any offerings for traditionally or in the past we haven't. So this blended leadership and blended and digital learning, you know, takes principals through what blended learning is, what it looks like, its effects on the classroom. You know, if you're doing it right, it doesn't look like a traditional classroom. And then ways to, you know, giving those principals opportunities to have conversations with their stakeholders and build a rollout plan that works for them. It's just been a really great process to be able to work closely with those administrators and give them those tools and background knowledge to be good leaders in their schools in this regard.
Yeah, I know it's something that we're really excited to be part of as well. You know, it's something that we're not just rolling out in your region, but we've been working with teachers and principals all across the state of Utah. Something that we're really excited to see growing as it's kind of rolled out for the first time last year, and it's only going to get bigger this year. So, Clint, maybe one final question. You know, we mentioned that you're from a regional service center, but I don't know if a lot of teachers out there know what the regional service centers do. You know, some of them have heard the acronyms, you know, SEDC, SCSC, CUES, but maybe they don't totally know what those service centers do. Can you maybe just give us a sense of what your regional service center does and maybe the role and the impact that you feel like you're having on the teachers in your part of the state?
Good question, Jared. It's something that we battle with constantly. We show up at schools and they're like, you're with who and what is SEDC? We're kind of in a weird gray area that no one, you know, not a lot of people know about. I won't say no one, but not a lot of people. Thankfully, our superintendents know what we do. And they
that's important.
Very
valuable, and went to bat for us to keep us around a few years ago. So what we do is we work hard to make sure that rural teachers have access to the knowledge and the same tools and resources that urban teachers do. We have specialists here for districts that, you know, that have like maybe five people in their district offices and can't afford to have their own technology trainer and can't afford to have a media specialist and an autism specialist and a network engineer and a system specialist. So we work closely. A lot of the stuff we do is technology-based, so we work really closely with each district's technology director, and we try to provide some economies of scale so that when we do purchases, you know, Garfield can't really get great prices on things, but when we bring in iron in Washington, then suddenly we have a lot more buying power and can get better prices on you know, apps and resources and hardware and things like that that our individual rural districts couldn't get by themselves. We ensure the network is running and make sure that everyone has the needed capacity and bandwidth through UEN. But we're kind of satellite UEN employees. At least Scott, our systems engineer, and I are with the professional development. And so we keep in touch with people at the state, with you guys, so that we know the latest and greatest and what's going on, and then we can share that out with our teachers. But at the end, you know, we always try to answer the question, what's best for the students? Because sometimes, you know, politics and personal things can get in the way of student achievement and success. But so we really do try to focus everything that we do to help the students with their education.
Thanks, Clint. I think that's a really great explanation for the regional service centers that a lot of teachers will be glad to know what they are finally.
Yeah.
And, and we're free. We're, you know, they pay us a small, you know, little membership fee, so, but everything else we do, you know, training or network work or whatever we do with each district that we work with is free to them. So it's a good deal.
That's the best part.
I think as we kind of wrap up this episode, Clint, one of the best things that we've kind of seen through this last few minutes that we've been talking is technology is really helping us to bring our students together, you know, whether it's the technology that the kids can use to do their homework, but it's also our state's been really proactive about finding ways that we can branch out and provide resources for the kids.
Absolutely.
Whether it's your service center and the things that you do or the tools that we're providing for the schools. It's really neat to see how the playing field is more level now than I think it's been in a long time.
I agree with that.
And
we all cooperate.
Yeah.
This is amazing. A lot, you talk to people from other states, and they don't know or don't have service centers, and each district is struggling and fighting with each other for resources. But everyone in the state is just amazing to collaborate and work together for the benefit of education. It's fun.
Awesome. Thank you, Clint. As always, it is lovely speaking with you.
Thanks, Clint. Appreciate your time.
It is lovely. Thank you, Jared. Thank you, Danny. Appreciate you guys.
All right. Bye-bye.
So, Danny, do you want to give our audience a tech tip today?
I mean, do we have to?
Well, I mean, this is a podcast kind of about technology.
I'm tired. Do you have a tech tip for today?
I mean, I guess if I have to, I can come up with one.
I mean...
All right. Well, I think Clint is going to help us with our final segment of the day.
I think he is, too.
Now, normally, Clint, this is where Danny and I share our lazy teacher's tech tip, but we've heard that you may just have a tech tip for that lazy teacher out there.
I hope I'm not stealing one from you, but I just today, in researching and looking for stuff for this episode, I dug into the new BYU independent study courses that have all been added into Canvas, into the Canvas Commons. And so if you're not familiar with those, they used to be in a different learning management system, but they're now all being moved over into Canvas. But if you just go down to the Canvas Commons and if your district has it installed, we've got it in for all of our districts. If it's not, ask your Canvas administrator to get this going for you. But there, right now, there's almost 80 courses, and I think there's plans to add more on chemistry and biology and all kinds of fitness courses and language courses, you know, Japanese and Chinese and things like that. And they're all kind of independent study sort of courses. And so, huge time saver for teachers. If you're just getting started with Canvas or need some resources, you can go in and pull from those and have a course built for you instantly that you can then customize and modify to your heart's content.
Well, that wraps up our second episode of UEN's Homeroom. What'd you think of our interview with Clint, Danny?
You know, it's always great to hear from Clint, but it was especially great to have him on the show today.
So, Danny, do you have any teases for our listening audience? What's coming up next?
Well, listening audience, I think you'll be excited to know that we are going to be chatting about makerspaces in our very near future.
Put it on your calendars.
All right. Thanks for joining us in the homeroom. Get out of my class.